This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The spectacle it is, the National Football League draft starts tonight in Las Vegas, don't you know? And if you squint and tilt your head just a little bit, you can make the case that it's a bigger deal than the Super Bowl is. All 32 teams are going to be there, as will the incoming rookies who are hoping to become the league's next stars. And there is, of course, going to be breathless television coverage, all of which can kind of obscure the whole point of the draft, to let players leaving the college ranks go pro, yes, but also to create just a little bit of parody in the NFL, P-A-R-I-T-Y, right? That happens in theory by giving last season's worst team the first pick, and thus, again in theory, them getting the best player, thereby theoretically making bad teams better. Marketplace's Andy Euler explains how it works in actual practice.
Another way the draft is like the Super Bowl, the Las Vegas Police Department said it's expecting 200,000 spectators per day for 3 days. That's about how many people turned out to see the last draft before the pandemic in Nashville in 2019.
With the first pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray, quarterback, Oklahoma.
Cardinals fans were naturally excited about that pick. The year prior, they'd been the worst team in the league. 3 wins, 13 losses. And Murray did make them better. He was the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Bursting free! Kyler Murray, burst and goal!
This year, the first pick in the draft was awarded to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who went 3-14 last year. The idea is that by drafting a talented player, a bad team will get a better shot at winning.
There's certainly evidence that drafts, reverse entry drafts, promote parity.
Brad Humphreys teaches economics at West Virginia University. He says the evidence started with Major League Baseball.
Competitive balance improved substantially in Major League Baseball after the introduction of the draft in the 50s.
After that, it was no longer a foregone conclusion that the Yankees would end up in the World Series every year. And that's basically why leagues want parity. Not to keep the Yankees out, but to make sure other teams have a shot at getting in. The problem with this plan is that it also introduces a perverse incentive, tanking.
Tanking is that purposeful underperformance with the ultimate goal of having some payoff that benefits you.
Nick Watanabe is an associate professor of sport and entertainment management at the University of South Carolina. He says leagues don't want teams deliberately putting out a losing product because fans hate it.
I think naturally we don't like the idea of people who are losing on purpose to gain something, right? It seems to be both against that sort of moral and ethical code in sport. And I think even within society, we don't like people who get rewarded for losing on purpose.
Former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores alleges that the team's owner, Stephen Ross, offered a bounty of up to $100,000 for every game the team lost in 2019. Ross denies the accusations. The NFL is investigating and says Ross could lose the team if they turn out to be true. Now, the appeal to tanking is lose now so you can win later, but it doesn't always work out that way.
There's a little catch. You don't know that you're going to be able to draft anybody great. There's no way to know that.
That's David Barry. He's an economist at Southern Utah University.
For one thing, every single year does not have a player in the draft who is going to change a franchise.
Some leagues have acted to minimize the incentives for tanking. The NBA, for instance, uses what's called a draft lottery. Only the worst teams in the league get to participate. The very worst have a 1-in-7 chance of getting the coveted first pick. Now, all of this obsession with making sure there's parity among teams in pro sports leagues is pretty much limited to American sports. In the rest of the world, in soccer, for instance, finish as one of the worst teams in your league, and you're sent down to a lower one, which means less exposure and less revenue. David Barry at Southern Utah says, as commercially saturated as sports in the U.S. are, they're borderline socialist.
American sports are everything people think socialism is. Losers get rewarded, winners get punished. And the American owners, who are all devout capitalists, all buy into this because it benefits them.
But if the goal really is parity and fan engagement, then maybe the NFL has it right. 8 different teams won the last 10 Super Bowls. In Germany's Bundesliga, Bayern Munich just clinched its 10th straight title. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.